Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey everybody, Tim Miller from The Bulwark here. It is Sunday afternoon. I hope you had a Sunday morning like me. I got to sleep in a little bit. I played with my daughter. We shot some hoops. I went to my ladies' weights class. We got some smoothies. And amidst all of this, Meet the Press was airing an interview with the president of the United States, Donald Trump. People kept telling me how crazy it was, how insane he seems.
And you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked, and so is ABC.
And so rather than, you know, go back and punish myself with that, I figured that I would just come here and blind react to the interview with you guys. I'm hoping that many of you also had a lovely Sunday morning like I did and didn't spend it watching Donald Trump. And for those of you who are like me, we can kind of just experience this together. My guy Matt is here. He didn't have a great morning. He suffered through the Donald Trump interview and others. And so he's put together, you know, some of the lowlights, if you will. And so why don't we go through them one at a time? Here's the president of the United States on Meet the Press this morning with Kristen Welker. The first clip, wait, I don't know what it's about. You show me.
So is this a war as long as there's a naval blockade in place?
Well, we have a blockade. It's been extremely effective. And the reason we have it is they try to blockade, and now we blockaded them. And as you know, they're losing $400 to $500 million a day. It's not sustainable for them. They have an economy that's shot in addition to everything else. Their leaders are gone. Their generals are gone. Their first tier and second tier are gone. Much of their third tier is gone. But they put up a blockade, and so we blockaded them, and we have the ultimate blockade. I don't consider that a war, but if you want to define it as such, I guess you can.
Well, how do you define it?
I don't define it at all. I don't think about it. I just do what I have to do.
I don't think about it. This is how blockades work, right? You know, you just blockade their blockade, and then someone else blockades your blockade. And if you're blockading all the blockades, then you're not really in a war. It doesn't really solve any of the issues. And I think that what you hear there from Trump is him trying to offer, I think, what he thinks is his off ramp from this war. He doesn't want to go back in. He's been totally humiliated. It is now about 100 days since he demanded unconditional surrender from Iran for the war to end. Since then, we have been negotiating with them. We've been the ones that are changing our demands and lessening our demands. We're nowhere near unconditional surrender. Trump has been, you know, completely embarrassed. It's been a level of weakness, like unseen from a president in recent memory. And think about all the times that the Fox guys and the Hawks went after Obama for not following his red line in Syria. That is nothing compared to this when it comes to not backing up your words from a military standpoint. And so what he wants to do to get out of this is he hopes that they cry uncle via this blockade. But the blockade isn't really the blockade. The Strait of Hormuz isn't open. Both Iranian and American ships are getting through a little bit. There's a trickle of them. They're both coming through. And so, I guess this is his hoping against hope, that he doesn't have to win this war via war, and, you know, he doesn't have to do anything else he doesn't want to do. He's hoping that they just cry uncle because of the blockade. And that's a lot of evidence that path is going to work out. But we'll see. All right. What else we got?
Saying you would consider sending some of the troops home, sir? Some of the 50,000 troops who were sent there as a part of Operation Epic Fury?
I would say this. It costs us very little to keep them there. I don't consider them in danger. We have the best defense anyone's ever seen. We have the best offense anyone's ever seen. So I don't consider it danger. I would say it would be foolhardy to do that because maybe we may use them. It's unlikely, but I think we'll keep them there until such time as we have a completion. And when we have a completion, you will see things like you've never seen.
A lot of lies there from the president. I first just want to start with Kristen Welker. I hate to nitpick, but I don't think that interviewers need to call him sir. He wants to be called sir. He has all of his imaginary sir stories. Why? You don't need to do that. It's not necessary. He's not really earned that level of respect. Obviously, he's the president, so you can call him that. But it just bugs me a little bit. As to Trump's answer, the lies, and the troops are in danger. 13 troops have died. We don't actually know the extent of all of the injuries that we have from our troops because the government's not being transparent with us. It seems like it's a lot worse than the public reports show, really, when it comes to, you know, how much damage we've had to our military installations and our materiel, but also the injuries to troops over there. So they are in danger. That's not true, what he's saying about them not being in danger. He also says it costs us very little to keep them there. Also not true. It is costing us ungodly amounts of money. It's significant just to keep the war going is, you know, day by day is in the billions. But on top of that, all of the damage that I just discussed, like we're going to have to rebuild our military. We are going to have to, you know, go out and, you know, procure more bullets and drones and missiles and like everything, right? We've incurred a lot of damage. All of that needs to be replenished and rebuilt. And so like the costs of this war are extensive, both to the budget of the United States, which is in trouble as it is, but also the cost to the American people who are paying higher prices for things because of the war. So it is costing us a lot to keep them there. They are in danger. And I don't even know what he means by when we have a completion, you'll see things we've never seen. I don't like hearing Donald Trump talking about his completions, but I don't think that there's anything coming at the end of this that is in any way benefiting America more so than what the status quo was before the war started. So there we go. What else we got?
Gas is up. Diesel is up.
It's all coming down as soon as the war's over.
Well, 70% of farmers say they can't afford fertilizer. What's your message?
The farmers are doing very well.
Let me ask you, what is your message to farmers, many who support you, but who say they're struggling? Who say they're struggling.
Because there's nobody been better to farmers. You know, I gave farmers last term $28 billion because China took advantage and other people. And you know who paid for it? China. Last term. You know, I had a great first term. I had the greatest economy ever. And you know what? This one's blowing it away.
What's your message to farmers, though, Mr. President, who say they are struggling, they're struggling to make ends meet?
Are you ready? Am I allowed to talk? You keep asking questions and you don't listen to the answers. I love the farmers, and the farmers love me, and the farmers trust me. In the first term, I had something very similar. China and others were, and Canada, which was brutal. They were taking advantage of our farmers. They don't take advantage of it anymore. I gave them $28 billion split up. They never had a payday like that. And the farmers loved me, and they came back and they voted for me in record numbers. You know that. Nobody's ever even come close.
Well, a lot of those farmers are having some regrets right now. In case you like me didn't watch this interview, so apparently this was taking place outside at a farm in Wisconsin. They're trying to have a pro-ag messaging event. And it started raining, so that was the on the tin roof there. Again, so many lies with what he's saying. This stuff is not. I mean, I guess if the war's over, it would come down slightly, but it's not coming down for a long time. I mean, we've had gas experts here on this channel who will tell you, you know, it's going to take at this point into 2027, best case scenario, to get prices down to where they were before the war has started. The fertilizer crisis is real. I talked to Josh Turek earlier this week, who is running for Senate in Iowa. It's going to be one of the hot Senate races. And he was talking about, you know, from his campaigning throughout the state, like a lot of farmers are really concerned about the price of fertilizer, particularly looking ahead to the fall planting season, whether they're going to be able to afford plant what they do what they need in order to potentially make a profit or be sustainable with their farms.
Absolutely. The tariffs have crushed our farmers. And that's why we hear betrayal. Trump administration gives $20 billion to Argentina. Meanwhile, our Iowa soybean farmers are upside down on their commodities prices.
It's kind of funny that like Trump has no message for farmers. You would think that they have come up with something better for a farm themed interview than I did $28 billion of farmer socialism 5 years ago. It's like, great. So you did farm socialism. Congrats. You gave my money. All the people watching this YouTube video, unless they're a farmer, you gave their hard earned money that they earned. They go to work every day, had to pay a bill to the government. They're struggling. I assume many of you are struggling and would like to have a little extra cash around. and your money was taken from you by the government and given as a handout to farmers so that they would vote for Donald Trump. And, you know, that little bit of farmer socialism worked, but like, what's the plan? Are you going to just do that again? More theft from the American people and passing along to the farmers that you've screwed over with your policies, whether it be tariffs, whether it be the stupid war. It is totally without any substance or merit. I mean, this is what I was talking to Turk about, like, the only rationale for somebody in farm country being for Trump is cultural issues at this point. Like, he has been a total disaster for agriculture. It's not even just the tariffs and the war. It's a lot of the Doge stuff, money for programs like Healthy Meals for Kids. That was funding a lot of smaller farmers in the country who, you know, were growing healthy fruits and veggies that were being used to go to the school program. That's been cut as like across the board. This administration has just been an assault on rural America. And I think that really it's, you know why they're doing this politically. Like, you know why he's trying to shine this turd, because that's going to be the key, maybe the key swing demo for whether they can keep the Senate this year, whether or not they can be successful in farm states like Iowa, like Nebraska. There's a strong independent running, Dan Osborne, and obviously their farm parts of some of these other states where there's going to be races as well, be that Ohio, Texas, Florida. So TBD on all that.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
My understanding is that the temperature rises from here through the rest of the interview, and old Donnie has a temper tantrum at the end, so I'm excited to see that. Let's see what else we got.
Are gas prices going higher or have they peaked?
They're going to come low, very low. They're going to go lower than they were before.
Have they peaked?
They're soon. Well, it depends. I mean, it depends where the war goes. It could be I'll have to give them a shot, and it could be we'll sign an agreement. If we sign an agreement, they'll go down now. Otherwise, they'll go down after we're finished.
He doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck. It was all fake. Him pretending like he cared about gas prices was all fake. He cares about himself. He doesn't care about the pain he's causing people. He has no idea. Gas prices have not peaked. I promise you they've not peaked. So we'll see who's right about that. Let's go to the next one.
Just to be very clear, are you backing off the fund completely, as your acting attorney general Todd Blanche has said, or are you looking for another avenue to revive
the fund? Let me explain what the fund is. People have been hurt so badly by radical left lunatics that worked for the Biden administration and Sleepy Joe. They're vicious, they're violent, what they did to people. And of course, they went after me more than anybody else. They raided Mar-a-Lago and all the other things. But people have been badly hurt. They've committed suicide, they've lost their jobs, they've lost their families, they've lost their wives, they've lost everything. They've lost everything over a fake weaponization of government.
Now, let me just tell you. So are you looking for a way to revive it?
Well, look, if it was up to me, I'd pay them the kind of money that they deserve. People have been destroyed. Lives have been destroyed. Many suicides. Think of it. People have committed suicide because a bunch of thugs went after them.
You don't.
So me personally, I think the weaponization fund is a great idea. And so do many other Republicans. You have to get it approved. If they get it approved, that's great. If they don't get it approved, I'd be disappointed.
You hear the rain picking up there. You hear God's judgment on the weaponization fund. There's a lot that is pretty disgusting. And I think that we spent a lot of time talking about just how horrible and corrupt and upsetting this sludge fund is. And on the pod on Thursday, I interviewed a reporter at Lawfare who talked about all of the subsequent crimes that have been committed by January 6th insurrectionists that were pardoned, 90 plus. She was able to identify a lot of really heinous crimes. And so, I think that everybody watching this knows how bad this is. The thing that pisses me off most about it is the rationale for it. Like his comments that are actually the inverse of what is true. Like the idea that it was the the thugs were the people that were defending the Capitol. The thugs were the people that worked for the Justice Department, the prosecutors, the civil servants that are trying to make sure that there's justice done, and that people who tried to tear down our democracy, like, were held to account at some level. All the insurrectionists had due process. All the rioters had due process. They had a chance to, you know, defend themselves in court. Many of them pled guilty. People that didn't have that were the people that they attacked. And Trump talks about all the suicides. So strange. You never hear him have empathy for anybody. It's like the only people he has empathy for are the people that he duped into storming the Capitol on his behalf. But there were some other suicides after January 6th. Howard Liebengood is a Capitol Police officer who died by suicide 3 days after the attack. Jeffrey Smith is an MPD officer who died by suicide 9 days after the riot. Kyle DeFreitag was an MPD officer who committed suicide that summer, and so did Gunther Hashida. They're an MPD emergency response team officer. You know, we don't know exactly what the relationship was between the fact that they had to go live through hell that day and be attacked by the actual thugs, the people that were spearing them and spraying them with their own mace and hitting them. You have to assume that there's not zero connection. Officer Sicknick, Brian Sicknick, died in the days after he suffered grievous wounds that day on January 6th. Nothing from the President of the United States about the suffering of those people, the suffering that he caused, right? You have to assume, we know Brian Sicknick would be alive. You have to assume that any of these officers who committed suicide would be alive. By the way, also that the rioters that killed themselves, a lot of them might be alive if Donald Trump had not made up a lie about the election, because his little feelings were hurt. He was a little baby. He couldn't deal with the fact that he lost. So he had to throw a tantrum. He had to throw the biggest tantrum in history, a tantrum so big that he fooled other people into believing that he was the right one. And he fooled a lot of people. He ruined a lot of their lives, and he ruined a lot of the lives of the people who were defending the Capitol that day. And the idea that we need some taxpayer-funded fund to be doled out to the attackers and nothing for those who are defending the country. Smears, actually, for those who are defending the country. They get smeared and targeted by Donald Trump and by his friends and allies all the time. It is really grotesque. And this is why I didn't watch Meet the Press this morning. My blood pressure is getting up again. My understanding is Donald Trump's blood pressure got up as well. Sometimes that happens because of projecting. You see this, you know, maybe in yourself or in a child, where you're kind of in an argument, you know you're wrong, you know you're guilty, but you're dug in, and then you start to lose your cool a little bit, start to lose your temper. That happens to Donald Trump when he's talking about January 6th. That happens to Donald Trump when he's talking about the lies about the 2020 election, and now he's got a whole new brand new set of lies that he's bringing up about the elections going forward. And that's where this interview comes to a head, and I believe that's where he walks off. Let's watch the end of the interview with Donald Trump talking about the 2020 election and his claims about what's happening in California right now.
Acknowledge they are slow. They're urging.
No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quickly. That's how they vote in
crooked,
California.
They're crooked, just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really.
Let's
well, continue. You play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Let's continue.
Play right into their hands with this rep. You know that these elections are rigged. Your network knows that they're rigged. You know that I won an election in a landslide, and I got 94% bad press.
But, Mr. President,
you know why
you've
I got that?
Presented
because you have no
evidence.
Credibility.
But you've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about, I want to talk about Todd
Lynch. You have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Let's talk
your
about
your elections
you
in this country.
Court.
We're like a third world country.
But, sir,
your elections are crooked, and you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
But, Mr. President,
and so is ABC and CBS and CNN.
But, Mr. President,
your one-sided crooked networks. So, let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good time.
Mr. President, let's please. I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat in the rain with you.
I know. I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat in the rain with you for an hour. On and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President,
a country can never be great with a dishonest press.
Listen, we traveled all the way to Wisconsin for this interview.
He is such a piece of shit and a baby. It's just kind of unbelievable, honestly, that the American people could put this fucking ass clown in the White House two times. Which takes me to the obvious rebuttal to his whole just flood of like lies and complaints and grievances there about the elections, which is he won twice. It's so insane that you have a person who had no qualifications, no character, no background to be the president. And yet, because we live in a democratic system, which I want to defend but sometimes don't love, he became the most powerful man in the world because he won an election. Fair and square, he lost the first election, actually. He got fewer votes, but he won based on the system that we have. He won the Electoral College. Like this would not be possible in other first world countries. So I guess that's the one area we agree. The system is a little bit of a third world system because it's only possible that a reality TV show host could, you know, become this powerful in a third world system. But it's not a third world system because we cheat. Like the votes were counted. He won in 16, the Electoral College. He lost in 20 and then he won again. It's like the president of the United States who has both houses of Congress, whose party won the House of Representatives, whose party won the Senate, is sitting there saying our elections are rigged. Well, if our elections are rigged, why are you here? Why do I have to listen to you? If only. the elections were rigged. Don't you think that sleepy Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would have rigged it for her? Or for him, for that matter? This is lunacy. To have to listen to this, the fact that people believe this nonsense is like hard to understand. It's like he won twice. And now he's sitting there ranting about how all of our elections are rigged because he doesn't like the outcome of a mayor's election in LA, I guess, which we'll get to in a second, and the governor's race in California. And the other thing that jumped out to me before we get to California is he keeps saying your elections are crooked. You're crooked. Your elections are crooked. Which is a very revealing insight into his psyche. That despite being elected president twice, he still doesn't see himself as a representative of all of America. He doesn't. He doesn't see himself as the leader of the free world, of course, but the leader of the country. He doesn't see himself as the person that is the steward of our democracy or democratic institutions. None of this. We all know all of this, but it's interesting how it comes out in certain ways when he's talking about how your elections are crooked. It's like, you're the president of the country. It's our elections. It's our country. Unfortunately, we have to be in it with you. And he can't process that because the only thing that his brain is able to think about as a megalomaniac is the things that have to do with himself. So elections that he's not in aren't his elections or your elections, right? Elections that his results you don't like are not, he's not a part of. That's you. That's some other thing. That's some they. You know, you hear that in his back and forth with Kristen there. You're crooked. They're crooked.
No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quickly. That's how they vote in
crooked,
California.
Just like you're crooked.
Who's they? I don't know. He doesn't ever say. He says, we have a lot of evidence. He doesn't say what the evidence is. There's some vague, spooky they out there, some enemy for people to fear, some group of people that others can project on. You know, for some people, maybe it's the Jews or the corporate elites or the Democrats or the liberals or the whatever, the immigrants. You know, there's always this they. It's they did it to us. And it is a deeply pernicious way for anyone to think, but for the president of the United States to think it, it's just a total shame on our system that this man was allowed to get back into power with that worldview. So his handling of her at the end is also disgusting.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
A little sexist comment, dismissive. He doesn't believe that he has to be accountable to the press or the people. It is, the whole thing is disgusting. The whole thing is gross. And I just want to say one more thing about California because on Thursday's pod, JVL and I, several times, I've criticized the California accounting system. And, you know, I've gotten some pushback from people in California on two things. Like, one, they just say, oh, we shouldn't have to change our system because other people like Donald Trump are going to lie about it. And I understand that should, you know, in therapy, they tell me should words don't really matter, though. You shouldn't think in should words. But they shouldn't have to change their system or do anything with their system because Donald Trump's going to lie about it. In a perfect world, I guess I hear that. And then also there's this kind of statement that, like, California values are enfranchising in as many people as possible, and that's a good thing. And it's like, well, actually, like, Minnesota and Wisconsin enfranchise more people than California does, have higher percentage of people that turn out to vote, have very easy access for people to vote, and they manage to count their ballots quite quickly. And so they can do it. If Minnesota and Wisconsin can do it, I don't see why California couldn't figure out how to do it. And even if you're not for that, even if you think you don't care, even if you think it's a good system that Nithya Raman, who's running for mayor, who's going to beat Spencer Pratt, hell yeah, Nithya, and get into the runoff. She conceded like 5 days ago because it seemed like she was going to lose. And it takes California so long to count that, like, all the late ballots came in there for her, because a lot of mail-in ballots for her. Anyway, like, it wasn't cheating. It's just a stupid system that, like, the person running, like, thought that they had lost. And then, like, a week later, it's like, oopsie, no, they haven't. They won, actually. Like, when you have a system like that, it's going to breed distrust. It just is. And it's going to breed distrust when you have somebody like Donald Trump out there, a total piece of shit, who is going to look for every weakness in a system and try to abuse it and manipulate it to his own benefit. Well, then I just think that if you care about protecting our democracy, then you should care about cleaning up our system a little bit. So that these opportunities are not put on a silver platter for people that want to tear down and ruin our democracy. So that's my point with the California thing. The California election is totally appropriate. If it was 1882, you know, and we were counting ballots on horse and buggy, this would be fine. If it was 1996 and we had Bill Clinton and Bob Dole, two institutionalists who were leading both parties, who were not going to cause any trouble, then it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal either. It'd be a little annoying, but that's not where we're at. Like, we got to fight for our democracy and protect our democracy from pieces of shit like the president. And California is just like handing him a weapon to hit them over the head with, to hit our democracy over the head with. And I don't understand why, because there are plenty of other states that have figured out how to both give people access to vote and also count votes. And so, you know, the system is not rigged. We are not a third world country. We count our votes. The winners get in office, as evidenced by the fact that Donald Trump got in office twice. That's what's happening in California. That's a good thing. If you have any people in your life that don't believe it, I'm happy to go to the mat to defend the integrity of the count in California, because the count is totally fine. Like, what they're doing is accurate. But they're also just giving a massive, massive weapon to the other side to use to make our democracy more fragile. And I think that sucks. So Donald Trump, not a great president, not doing a good job on any level, is how I'll close that. This is why I don't watch the Sunday morning shows anymore. All right. But I did it for you guys. So I'm going to go outside, finish my smoothie. Hopefully you guys can enjoy your weekend. We'll see you back here Monday with Bill Kristol for the Bulwark Podcast. Subscribe to the feed. I'd really appreciate it. We'll see y'all soon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.